Take your Bible, turn with us to the book of John, the 11th chapter of the book of John. Please stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. We're going to start reading at verse number 23 of the 11th chapter. Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. My text is going to be taken from the verse number 28. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. Let us pray. Father, again today I want to thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, your kindness to us. Thank you for the salvation that's offered to all men through Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. And Father, today we need you. This preacher needs you. I need your power, need your wisdom. And I ask you, Lord, to do that today in each one of our hearts that needs to be done. So I ask you, Lord, to have full control, complete control of the services, to deal with us accordingly as our need is. And then, Father, we'll thank and praise you for it. Just thank you for being good to us and kind to us and who you are. You are the true, the great, the living, the only God. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach a message this morning out of the what Mary said to her sister. She said, the Master is come and calleth for thee. I was thinking back, thinking about Memorial Day. I'm not really going to preach a Memorial Day sermon, but I was thinking about all the people down through the years who's answered the call to step up into the armed services of the United States of America and protected this country and fought for its freedom. And this morning, we should be so grateful, so thankful for all of those who gave their life. They gave the ultimate for this country. You and I gathered together here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church because of folk like that. They cared enough to fight for the freedom of this country. And now they're still doing it. Folk are still answering the call and still fighting and still dying. And we need to be thankful and grateful for these people who gave their life for this country and who now are in harm's way, even today, that we should be a grateful people, thankful people. This morning in our hearts, and I'm sure it probably is, but we ought to be thankful and grateful. We can gather today, together, and hear the Word of God preached, and gather as God's people because of folk like them. Now, we know ultimately it was the Lord. We understand that. It's always Him. It's always Him that gives us these things, always. But we're grateful for those who's willing to dedicate their lives to the protection of this great nation that God has given us. But we're going to preach a message this morning that Mary said to her sister, and I take note that right before that was some of the most wonderful verses of Scripture in the Bible. The things that Jesus said to her, He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. What a wonderful, wonderful verse of Scripture. And you notice He says, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And he asked her if she believed that. And notice right after she's made the statement that she believed that, believed upon him, she went out and talked to her sister. I think that's one of the things that comes into the heart of people who truly get saved. I believe there's a desire put in their heart concerning other folk. You get saved, you want to do something. You want to do something for the Lord. You want to tell somebody about him. And so this morning, we're just going to try to look at some things. And I believe that God is still calling people. Now, I'm not just talking about he is into the pastorate, into preaching, into missions, and all those things, but I think he's still getting people's attention. I believe he still calleth for thee. And so that's the message I'm going to preach this morning. I believe he's still calling people through his book, through the Bible, the precious book, the Bible, the Word of God. You know, people need to read that book. You need to get in and read it, because God is still touching hearts through the blessed book, the Bible, the Word of God. I think back when he said in his word in the book of Matthew, "Come unto me, ye that labor and are heavy laden." That's an invitation to all of those and all of us who are laboring, are heavy laden, we're laden down. There's multitudes out there, folk, today who are laden down. They're laboring, and many of them are trying to labor to get to heaven. And they don't realize, don't understand, it's a free gift. It's a wonderful free gift of God that God wants to give them. But they're laboring, they're trying to get to heaven, they're trying to do good works, they're trying to do all kinds of things. And Jesus' invitation is, just come unto me. He said, I'll give you rest. Amen. He's the one that can give rest, you see. And throughout the Bible, if we just read this wonderful book, the Bible, the Word of God, if we just read it, we'll understand that all through the Bible, Jesus is calling people. He's calling them unto himself. If you need rest this morning, Jesus is the answer. He's the one can give you rest. I remember another time when a man came to Jesus and he said, "My servant is homesick of palsy." And the answer of Jesus was, he said, "I'll come and heal him." That's exactly what he said. "I'll come and heal him." You see, Jesus is just waiting on folk to just come to him and seek his help. And Jesus said, I'll come, I'll heal him. He told he told Matthew in the scriptures. He came by the receipt of customs, and Matthew was there, and he just simply said to Matthew, "Follow me." I believe he's still calling out. He's looking for folk just to follow him. You know, this Christian life, folks, it's not a game. I think you understand that. But it's following Jesus. It's just getting him up, and that's what Matthew did. He got up and followed Jesus. That's what this Christian life's all about. I really believe we have to preach too much on dedication and all these things to the Lord and his work. I don't think we ought to have to preach as much. I know we have to stir people's hearts, but folks, that ought to come natural. That ought to just come natural. Jesus is saying the same today to folk, just follow me. Just come unto me, you see. And then he met that man with the withered hand. That withered hand was all withered, and he couldn't do anything with it. And Jesus said, "Stretch forth thy withered hand." And that man stretched it forth. How did he do that? Well, because Jesus told him to. He had the power then to do what he couldn't do before. You see, God's looking for people who maybe can't do everything that they'd like to do, but he'll give them the power to do it. See, it's Jesus that does this. You see, he's just waiting for folk to come unto him. Remember those fish and five loaves that little boy had? You know what he said when he found out there was some two fish and five loaves? You know what he said? He said, "Bring them to me. Just bring them to me." And Jesus multiplied them and made enough to feed the 5,000. I mean, are you understand what I'm saying? It's going to Jesus. It's coming to Jesus. He's still calling for folk. Today, we'll get into some specifics here in a minute, but he's still calling folk today. He's calling those that are labor and heavy laden. Why don't you just come to me? You see, why don't you just come to me and let me take care of it, you see. He said to the little children, and there was the little children, what he said to them was, "Come unto me." All the sweet little children. Well, we got a lot of them around here. They're out in the other building. We send them out there during this service. But they're so sweet. Don and I was talking this week. I tell you, they're what makes the world go round. Now, maybe they don't with you, but they do with me. And we were just talking about that. There's no greater joy I get than to sit up here and watch these little sweet children. Are some of them little stinkers? Sure they are. Some of them little stinkers. I mean, they do all kinds of things. But there's nothing like them in all the world. Just nothing like them. They're sweet, precious children. I see them on the street. If I'm downtown or somewhere, see them on the street, and it puts a smile on my face. It just does. There's just something about it. I think Jesus was that way. I think he loved the little children. He said, no, don't forbid them not to come unto me. He said, just come unto me. Amen. See, Jesus is always calling. Just come unto me. He's looking for folk to just come unto him. I don't care who you are this morning. He's looking for you to just come unto him. Amen. And you remember the blind men? They was going by, and Jesus was passing by, and they called out to him, kept calling out, and the disciples was trying to get him to hush up and all of that thing. And he stops, and he calls to them, and he said, "What will you have me to do?" See, he's just looking. He's looking to do for folk what they need. All through the Bible, I just want to say to you, all through the Bible, the Word of God, you can find Jesus calling and inviting folk to come unto him. Amen. The very last of the book in Revelation, he says, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, come." You know who that is? That's capital S. That's the Holy Spirit of God that says, come. And he said, "The Bride says, come." That's those who've born again. He says, "Say, come." Amen. You see, Jesus is always throughout the Bible saying, "Come. Come unto me," you see. And then he says, and let him that heareth say, "Come." I believe when a person gets saved, mentioned this in Sunday school, but I believe when a person gets saved, can I get a little more power on this thing? Just a little bit. No one back there? Okay. Give me a little bit more. He said, I believe when a person hears the word of God and gets saved, it's natural to want other folk to get saved. It's just natural. And we ought to tell other people. You said, "He that heareth says, come." See, we join in. We join in the chorus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. You see, that's just natural. You don't know me too well. I mean, you didn't know me earlier years, and I don't like to go back on that all the time. But I want to tell you something. One of the most difficult things for me to do as a young man was to talk to people and to be in the presence of a lot of people. I did not want to be that. Donna and I was enough. That's about the way I was. I did not like to be around people. I didn't. But I want to tell you, after I got saved, I went immediately over to Anaconda Aluminum Company and began to witness to people over there about what Jesus done for me. Now, folks, that's not natural. Not for me, it was not natural. I don't mean I was a big shot about it. I mean, I just tried to tell them what happened to me, got to have the privilege of leading some of them to Christ there on lunchtime. I just believe. Now, I didn't steal the company's money, all right? I believe you probably were, you're supposed to work. But anyway, I won't preach on that. But anyway, it was a natural. It just come because why? Because I felt like after I got saved, I'll share it. So he just simply says, and let him. Then he also says, let him that is athirst come. Folks, if you're thirsty, if you have need in your life, Jesus is where to go to. Amen. So you have need of salvation. Jesus wants to save you. Wants to give you eternal life. Amen. You have other needs in your life. Jesus is the one to go to. You're thirsty. Come to Christ. Amen. Because he's still calling. He's calling folk in here this morning. I don't know all the needs and all the whys, but I know this. He's calling folk today. Why don't you just come unto me? Why don't you just lay that, cast your care upon me, for I care for you. Why don't you just do that? You see, that's what he's looking for. And then also, not only does he call them through the Bible, we've talked a little bit about this, but he calls them through Christians. I want to show you over in Luke, if you'll turn with me, book of Luke, the 14th chapter. In verse number 16, he says, "Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready." Did you notice there he sent his servant? Okay. "For all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have brought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have brought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and showed his lord these things. And then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Listen to what it says. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Do you notice in each case here, he used servants to go out and invite. Folks, that's what God's people do. Now, you may sit there and you've heard this preacher preach for years and years and years. You've heard it. I've hammered from this pulpit the responsibility of us as God's people. We have a responsibility to go out and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you say we don't, prove it in the Bible to me. Bring me the Bible and prove to me that you have no responsibility whatsoever to go out as a servant and try to do your best to get folks saved. I believe with all my heart it's a life's work. Amen. I don't believe it's just for preachers. I believe it's for everybody. Every Christian is to go out and do their best to bring those in. Amen. Make sure they're at the supper, the wedding supper. Amen. You know, I was at Walmart this week, and I was down getting me some kind of prescription there, and I was standing in line. There's quite a line there. And the man in front of me, you know, we just got to talking. And I don't believe I'm ever in any situation that God hadn't already ordained it. Now, I just don't believe that. I don't believe I was there standing behind that man just by chance. So anyway, he got to talking. He was hurting all over. You could tell he was probably, I'm just going to guess, around 50 years old. And he's hurting all over. Got talking. He said, you know, he said, I'm a Vietnam veteran. And I said, well, good for you, sir. And I stuck out my hand, shook his hand, and thanked him. I said, thank you, sir, for going and fighting. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I talked to him. And he started telling me, he said, well, he was really aggravated. He said, you know, he said, I just now got my veteran's benefits. I lost my right eye. He'd broken somewhere. He got in here and had a pin in his arm. And somewhere in his leg, he was hurt in the war. And he said, I just now got my veteran's benefits. Just now. And he was a little bit bitter. You know, I understand that. A little bit bitter. And we got to talking. And he was being waited on about that time. So I stopped talking. And then she had to go do something. I stepped up to him and I said, are you a Christian, sir? And he said, oh, yeah. Yes. And he said, I study Greek and Hebrew. Bless his heart. You know, that's what he said. I study Greek and Hebrew. And I said, well, that's good. I'm sure you do a good job of it. And I said, listen, Christ is the answer. I told him real quickly how I got saved. And he started shaking his head. I said, listen, why don't you don't go to church anywhere, do you? And he said, no, I don't. He said, I don't go to church anywhere. And so I just pulled out my thing and got his name and the telephone number and where he lives and all of that real quickly. And he said, oh, that sounds great. And I went there yesterday to see him, and he wasn't home. But anyway, he lives in Pleasantville. He said, I got four children. He said, I got eight altogether, four of them's only at home. And so he has four little children there. And what I'm saying is, I think everything is ordained. I think God puts us in positions. If you'll get soul conscious, if you'll just make yourself soul conscious, why did God put me in this position? Why am I working where I'm working? Why did I meet this person today? I don't believe those things are accidents. I believe God uses his servants, and God calling people today through his servants. You agree with that?
Amen.
God sends his servants out to call people unto salvation. Now, this man was hurting. I'm telling you, he leaned over the thing like this once, and you could tell he was just hurting all over, you see. But he's hurting more spiritually. Probably don't understand all that. That's understandable. But he's probably hurting more spiritually than physically. He needs the Lord. Amen. And God cared enough about him to just send somebody by to talk to him a little bit. And I will come in contact with him. I'm just saying, don't you understand that that happens all the time? Don't you understand that that's just part of the process that God uses to send his servants out? Don't you believe that? See, get soul conscious. Realize that when you meet somebody, it's just not by accident. There's a purpose. There's a reason in this. So God is still calling folk through Christians. Then not only that, he calls them through goodness. I want to take you over to the book of Romans just for a moment. The book of Romans, the second chapter of the book of Romans. a very simple verse of scripture, but it's one I believe is very, very important. Verse number 4, second chapter of Romans. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? You know, the goodness of God many times is displayed in our life to bring us to repentance. There's so many people, and I've met them as I've pastored all of these years. I've met them, and they'll say to me, you know, are you a Christian? Are you saved? Are you ready for heaven? Oh, yeah, I must be. You know, it was that time when I had this accident. I mean, I would have died in that accident except God saved me through the accident. I've heard this so many times that I don't even know what to do about it. That's not a proof of salvation. That's a proof of God's goodness. You see, we think that's a proof because we went through all of these things. Surely God was with me. Well, he was with you. But he was with us in goodness to bring us to repentance. And so time and time again, I sat down here with a couple in White Rose down here. And sitting there, and he was an old veteran, been in the war, old things. And he said that same words he said to me. He said, I tell you what, if I wasn't saved, if I wasn't right with God, he said, I never got through that war. And I know I have not been in war, but war must be terrible. War must be horrible. It must be very, very just difficult and hard. It must be. But he felt since he got through the war, he was all right with God. He didn't realize that the goodness of God is what got him through the war. He just didn't understand it. And in that situation, within about an hour, we was there about an hour. His wife, I noticed, was over there just mumbling under her breath. But we was there about an hour, and he got saved. He finally realized that he was lost, and he got saved. And his wife told me right after that, she said, I have been praying for 15 years for his salvation. But you see, he was hung up on the fact that there's a lot of good things happened to him in life, so he must be all right. God's goodness leads to repentance. God is good to us, you see. I had another man tell me, he said, I should have died 3 different times in my life. And he began to tell me something was an accident and some other things, and sickness was one of them. And he said, I should have died 3 different times. So he said, I know I must be all right with God. And you have to explain to them that it's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. You may be here today and say, boy, God's been good to me. And boy, I think all of us could say that. God's been good to us. He's a good God. He's wonderful. But that is not proof of salvation. Rains upon the just and the unjust alike. Some of God's people suffer some of the hardest times. But the goodness of God brings us to repentance. God calls through his goodness. He calls people and he invites them to come. I've been good to you, but you need salvation. You need Christ. Amen? And so we know that the goodness of God brings us to repentance. And if God is calling you and you say, boy, God's been good to me. Listen, he's been good to you to bring you to the place of repentance. If you're not saved, he wants you to get saved. He wants you to come to Christ. Amen? And I know this. You've heard this preacher say it many times. I can't say anything, but God's been good to me. God is good. He always will be good. He cannot be anything else but good. No matter what happens in this preacher's life, I'm just telling you, God is good. He always will be. And he is. Amen? Sure he is. So God calls through goodness to bring us to repentance. And then not only that, he calls also through trouble. I don't know, and I wouldn't even dare guess, at the times that I've went into a hospital room and sat down with somebody and talked to somebody who had just come and maybe they'd got the news that they had cancer or some other sickness that was very, very serious. And God, through that trouble, brought them to Christ. They finally seen Mr. Cullison. Mr. Cullison. Just basically, don't you think, Brother Don, it was through the trouble he was facing, it was the health problems he was facing. I know it was a lot of things before that, but he realized he was going to have maybe open heart and all of these things. And all at once, you know, he said, you know what, I better get saved. How many times down through the years have I seen this? God wants them to listen. He wants to call them. He's begging them to come. He invites them to come. And many times they will not do it until he sends trouble into their life. How many times have I seen backslidden Christians come back to Christ because of trouble that's come in their life? They got away from God. I mean, they walked away from God. They wasn't living for him. And yet God sent some trouble into their life. And it brought them back to God. How about the Gary Browns, who we just talked about a little while ago, who was in jail. He and I understand, I'm not sure this JR, seemed like he said something about he had been in jail 10 years altogether or something like that. Do you remember? Or I think it was something like it altogether of his life, and he's 36 years old, and 10 of those years he had spent in jail, but he come to the end of it, and he said, you know what, it's enough. I don't want to do this anymore. What brought him to Christ? Well, of course we know it's the Holy Spirit, but it was through trouble. Sometimes God sends troubles into our life to bring us unto himself. Amen? Sometimes it's a loss, it's the love of a loss of a loved one. Brother Bud, I still remember Bob Carr. When your wife, his daughter, got killed in that car wreck. And it basically through that time is when Bob Carr came to know Christ. I don't know. I don't remember all of the details and all of that, but I know it was through that time when his daughter died in a car wreck that he came to Christ. See, God sends troubles many times to call us. Sometimes it's through financial ruin. I've seen people brought to the very bottom; they had no place else to go but to look up to God. I mean, the bottom fell out and they didn't have anything else to do except turn to God and call out to the Lord for help. What I'm saying is, it doesn't bother God to send us trouble. He's not so much interested in our security and our comfort. He's interested in our heart. And if he has to send trouble in our life to bring us unto him, that's what he does. Are you hearing this, preacher? God is still calling. Jesus is still calling through many, many things. I want to take you over to the book of 2 Samuel for just a few moments. Second Samuel, 14th chapter of 2 Samuel. I'll start reading in probably verse number 28. Here we have a story of Absalom and a story of Joab. Verse number 28, so Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem and saw not the king's face. Therefore Absalom sent for Joab to have sent him to the king, but he would not come to him. And when he sent again and the second time, he would not come. Therefore he said unto his servants, see, Joab's field is near mine, and he hath barley there. Go and set it on fire. And Absalom's servants set the field on fire. And then Joab rose and came to Absalom unto his house and said unto him, wherefore have thy servants set my field on fire? I'm going to stop there. You see, he wouldn't pay any attention. Joab would not pay any attention to Absalom. He sent for him twice. He would not come. So he goes out and burns his barley field. Sends his servants out, burns his barley. And immediately it says after that, Joab arose and came to Absalom. Now what I'm saying to you is sometimes God has to set our barley fields on fire. Did you hear me? Sometimes God has to set our barley fields on fire. to get our attention. Joab got up immediately when boy the barley field went down in smoke. And a lot of times we do the same thing. We wait until it gets so bad that our barley field's on fire, quote, quote, you understand what I'm saying? Before we ever turn to God, before we ever rise and go to the Lord. But God today is still calling through trouble. I don't know your hearts, but if you're not saved, if you're not born again, ready for heaven, said you're going to go to hell when you die. That's just blunt talking, but that's just the way it is. You're not going to get to heaven on your own. You're not going to get to heaven without being born again. Amen. New birth. You're not going. No one else is either.
Amen.
Amen? So God calls people unto salvation. He wants them to get saved. He wants you, if you're unsaved, to come to Christ. Repent toward the Lord and come to Christ and be saved. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe upon him. Put your faith, your trust in him. God will save you. Is God still calling? Yes, he is calling. Yes, he is calling. And he calls also for people to dedicate themselves unto the Lord. A lot of people saved and never really dedicated themselves unto the Lord. Just not really give the Lord full dedication. Just turn it over. That's what God is calling for. God's not satisfied with half of you or me. He wants us. Amen? So God calls us unto dedication, and he also calls us unto service. He wants us to serve him. To give our life to him as a service to the Lord. And God is still calling. God's still calling preachers. God's still calling missionaries like Brother Korea and his wife there. They're missionaries. God's still calling missionaries. He's still calling preachers. He's still calling teachers. And all kinds of people in positions, he calls them to a certain work. God is doing that. But it has to come from here. Our yes and our answer to him must come from here. Amen. So God uses all kinds of things. He calls through the Bible. The Bible's the Word of God, folks. You know that. And you read the Word of God, you can't help but hear the come to me all through the Bible. God also calls through Christians. Sometimes it's Christians that stir our heart. I've had God send people by my way and give me a message that they didn't even know they was doing. But God was speaking to me through them. You know why? That's just the way God works. And then through his goodness. The goodness of God leadeth to repentance. Amen. God's good to you. I know he's good to you. But if you're not outside of Christ, you need to come to Christ. Amen. Then he also calls through trouble. Are you hearing me? See, God don't want to burn your barley field. Can I just put it that way? That's not what God wants to do. If Joab had listened the first two times, he'd have never got his barley field burned. God gave him a second time. Absalom gave him a second time. But the third time, he said, just go burn his barley field. And I think God does that to us. We won't listen. So he just has to burn the barley field. Amen. So I'm just simply saying to you folks, listen, God is still calling. He's calling today. I know for sure. No, I'm not the individual, but I know for sure God sent this message because he's calling. He's trying to reach some people today. Whether it's unto salvation, whether it's unto dedication, whether it's unto, and I didn't go into all this, but maybe it's to repentance of sin, to service to the Lord. Whatever it might be, God calls. Amen. And he's still calling. The only thing is we need to be like Martha and answer. We need to respond and say yes to the call that God is calling us for. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. This morning, as we give the invitation, we want and know that the only way that anything will be accomplished this morning is if we allow the Holy Spirit of God to deal with our heart and convict us of sin. If you're here and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you cannot say to me, I know for sure that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. If you cannot say that, you need to come and receive Christ as your Savior. You need to do that this morning. God's calling you to do that. Amen. If you're here this morning and there's sin in your life that ought not to be there, you say, I know I'm saved, but there's things in my life that ought not to be there. Why don't you just come to an old altar of prayer, get alone with God, and ask God to forgive you, and just put it on the line for the Lord and get your relationship back right with God. He's calling you to do that. You may be here this morning, you've never dedicated your whole life to the Lord. You said, I've never really dedicated my life, given him my life. Why don't you do that this morning? He's calling you to do that. Maybe there's some specific service that he's called you to this morning. He's calling you to some specific work of God. Maybe he's calling you to be a preacher. Maybe he's calling you to be a missionary. Whatever it might be, he's calling you this morning. And if so, let's answer. Amen. Are you letting God work? Are you dealing? Letting him deal? Father, thank you for this time. Your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen.